Rather than do a full round robin, if you don't mind, do you want to do a round robin of your people? Or I just don't want to spend the first hour, half hour of our short exercise going around the whole room. So if perhaps the first time you speak, you can say, hello, my name is Cheryl Langdon Orr, which would be silly for you to say, Michaeli, but if I was to speak the first time, you could say, hello, my name is Cheryl Langdon Orr, I'm the current chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee, which of course you are not, and I represent Asia Pacific. So I think that's the way to go forward on that. There's another piece of housekeeping which won't affect the industry side that we've got in the room. Somebody took one of these home. Fess up. Find it. Bring it back. Search your hotel rooms. There's one missing. We need it back. Okay.
Okay, I did it. I like to listen to Spanish while, you know, while I'm in the shower. So.
On the housekeeping, for those of you who want to make good use of these excellent tools and the impressive services of the translation team behind me, number one is English, number two is French, and number three is Spanish. To start it, you do this. You push little buttons to select one, two, or three, and there's a wonderful little whizzy thing that gives you volume. So let's throw it back to you and open.
Okay. How do I want to start? We'd like to hear a bit from the ALAC, if we may, about where you're spending your time right now, what your specific desired outcomes are for your current level of activity. Anything else you feel compelled to share? I mean, obviously, registrars are aware of much of what the ALAC does, but we're not as deeply aware as you are since you're involved in your own work. But if you could share some of that, I think that would be helpful, if you don't mind.
Happy to do so. I'm sure I could probably list off half a dozen words, but I want to hear from half a dozen people who would like to buy into that first step of where we are coming from and what our concerns are in terms of bringing the voice of internet end users into policy development processes. Something I think I've heard in any number of meetings here this week is the compliance word. And compliance goes with another C word, which is capacity, and that's ICANN's capacity to meet the compliance needs. There's also a difference between simply auditing or looking for compliance, responding to a complaint. And again, we're not going to try and drill down and get into the how the responses go or whose issues it are. It is that a particular port is not seen as such a high-level infringement as one other. We're not trying to get into those details. We're trying to take a helicopter view. But we are deeply concerned that the concerns of community end users of the internet as well as registrants aren't coming with as much confidence into our space because of what they're hearing. And to that, though, I thought I might toss to you, because I know you've got a fair amount of experience in the consumer end as to where the barriers in terms of confidence and trust in what is effectively our ability to ensure compliance comes to pass. Thanks, Bo. Go ahead.
There's a few things I could say here, I guess. As you know, several people in this room, including myself and Michaeli and others, were just part of the drafting team for RAA amendments and whatnot, you know, as part of what the GNSO asked for. And so I think you got a taste on Monday, I think it was the Monday evening session on that, as to what our priorities are about the RAA. And I think that, you know, our experience in being part of that was instructive in many ways. I don't think the working group did, I think much of the heavy lifting was done in Group B, and I think that, by and large, the at-large needs to pay more attention to the work that was done in Group A than the work that was, that was done in Group A, and I accept the responsibility for that. But, you know, it was kind of amazing to me that getting a couple of weeks into doing that working group, there was really no document that we could use to talk about the RAA in plain English. So we had to, in essence, delay the progress of the working group for what was it, a month or something, until ICANN could basically come up with a section of the RIA that could be read by somebody who didn't have a law degree. So, you know, I think we have to step back a bit, quite a bit, and try to simplify what's in there for the general user. I don't think there's a translated copy of the RIA into Spanish, is there? I mean, if we could have one motion come out of this meeting that would help make progress, it would be have the entire RIA translated into readable English, have the entire RIA translated into readable Spanish, French, and the remaining UN languages or whatever, so that there's not such a misunderstanding on the part of users as to what's really in there or what's really not in there. I think that would be helpful to both sides. So that's one thing, and included in that, I think, compliance, obviously, as Cheryl mentioned it, we had David Giese in here the other day, yesterday, I think it was, and, plan to suggest to ICANN that more money be provided for his department for compliance. But in that vein, I guess probably I would throw back to your community. I mean, is there something that the at-large can do to address the issue of, I know many, many of you do everything you can to dot your I's and cross your T's and do a good job and all of that, but there are a few bad actors that kind of bring the whole thing down. So what can be further done from a user perspective, or what can the at-large do to be helpful to you in that regard? Because obviously those of you who are trying to provide good customer service and play the game and do, you know, what you're supposed to do in, according to the terms of the RIA, certainly aren't happy when you see other people violate those things and blatantly get away with it. So I'll leave it there for response or discussion.
I'm taking notes, and I can't write and talk at the same time. So.
Men cannot multitask. No, we all know that. Did Michaela want to jump in there first?
Basically, do you want me to jump in here?
Please, Michaela.
So you can take the notes and everything else. Just for the poor scribes, it's Michaela Nalum, and please get my name right, since it seems I'm turning up in transcripts with all sorts of interesting variations on my first name, my poor mother. The kind of thing that I think has come up as a recurring theme in the various working groups that I've personally been involved in, and I mean, you've been involved with several of them, Bo, Cheryl has been involved in quite a number of them, and other people from ALAC and other groups within the broader ICANN structure. I think the common recurring theme is, and I think Cheryl will agree with me, is education. I know, it's the idea that Cheryl over in ALAC would agree with a registrar, I know, it's terrible. And in public. Education, I think, is the key. So this, it's all very well for those of us who know what should or shouldn't be done on both sides of the table to try to beat each other over the head with sticks and RAA amendments and all sorts of other things and the ICANN compliance team and whatever. But that doesn't actually solve anything. Many of the issues that users have, be that through their own fault or through the something done intentionally by a third party or whatever, it could be avoided if there was better education out there. And you guys in ALAC are probably in a better position to do that than we are, because we're always going to be seen to be pushing our own commercial interests. Now, I will quite happily send out warnings to my customers to say, you know, beware of these letters that are coming through from Domain Registry of America, or there's a bunch of other ones, European Directory, something, whether I can't remember the exact name. I can do that, but I'm only going to be able to reach my users. I can't reach every single one. And it's just end-user education, making people aware of the fact that just because they signed up for something, you know, 9 months ago using a free Hotmail email address and then kind of forgot about it, that they can't turn around and blame us when we've done our utmost to inform them of the fact that it's up for renewal or whatever the case may be, and if they're only, and you know, we've had these discussions on a lot of these working groups. I mean, those of you who are on working groups know I'm more than happy to share my opinions on on things. And I would prefer that we were in a position where we were working together rather than having this adversarial relationship. And I mean, some of you are more than happy to work with us, and I think that's great. But other people, unfortunately, seem to want to continue going at loggerheads with each other. And that happens on both sides. And I think it's better for everybody if we, you know, bring it down a tone and get it back to, you know, what is it that we want? Mason will quite happily say that on behalf of the registrars, and he keeps saying this, he sounds like a broken record, no offence, Mason, you know, we operate on razor-thin margins, we work very hard to get our customers, we want to keep our customers. If I look at my breakdown in my annual report that I send to my auditors, I have a breakdown, I have staff, and my staff cost is high because of customer service. I've got marketing because I'm trying to get more customers. I've got, you know, legal costs, I've got this, I've got that, I've got all these things there. I mean, it's not in my interest to give users a bad experience. It's not in my interest to do something to a consumer, to a user, because ultimately we're all users.
All right, thank you. So first of all, Bo, thank you for the perspective. I think that's useful. So there was a lot of back and forth right then that I think could be useful to address. Bo, to your point about bad actors, you know, unfortunately, just like in any business, there are bad actor registrars. We're aware of it. The bad guys make the good guys look bad, and we're not interested in that, right? So over the course of the last few months, we've heard quite a bit about the desire on the part of the community for registrars to more actively police themselves. And I think that could be, if we can do that, if we can figure out an efficient and effective way to do that, I think we're happy to take up that case. You know, we are as interested in removing bad actors from the industry as you are, for a number of reasons, but not the least of which is bad actors have a competitive advantage over us, right? Because we spend the time and the money and the resources to try to do things right, and they don't, and you know, sometimes they get away with it, and that's not fair. It's not fair to the end user, nor is it fair to us. McKaylee brought up a point I wanted to address as well, and the elephant is in the room, so if I may. To your point, I'm going to lead in with what you asked, though. You asked, you know, what can be done to help registrars make the end user experience more effective. I will tell you that I think it's the exchange of information. So as the representative body of the end user, if the ALAC can feed us information that is useful, that tells us with specificity and with data what the problems are that end users are experiencing, we're in a position to do more about it. An objection that I have, and I think some registrars do have, is sort of the observation of a perceived problem and then the leaping to legislation or, you know, a proposed contract amendment without approaching the registrars and saying, we're seeing this problem, what do you think can be done to help resolve it? And so involving us early in the discussion rather than, you know, leap to, you know, we must have a change in the RAA or we must have a PDP or we must get compliance to crack down or we must whatever. You know, we're not opposed to reasonable processes by any stretch, but we'd prefer to be involved in the discussion early on. Now, to the elephant in the room, yes, I realize registrars and the ALAC have been adversarial at times. None of us are interested in that. I mean, I speak for the registrars. No one is interested in getting in arguments. All right, so from today forward, okay, you know, we want to have as collaborative and well-intentioned and cordial relationship as we possibly can with the ALAC. So to that end, we will share information to the extent that we can, that we're not precluded by law, for example, for doing so. I would like regular interaction with the ALAC, even beyond the ICANN meetings, if possible. So that you can bring to us your concerns, and maybe we can deal with them faster than we can through the sort of endless ICANN process we all spin around in.
Can
Communication is certainly the key, Mason, and I think that was music to my ears and probably to many ears around the table. And just getting John's attention from the other end, we first met in, let me think, was it Delhi? There was three, four of you and maybe five of us. Look around the room now. Okay? We're sitting at the table. And we're sitting at a table with purpose as opposed to who are you and why should I be here? So huge steps forward in not so much a length of time. Alan, and then back to you, though.
I almost wish I had talked before Mason did, because then I could say what I'm going to say caused him to have that very generous approach. But I'll shorten what I was going to say. I think the problem has been that as soon as any discussion starts, there's a lot of posturing, and someone becomes aggressive and someone becomes defensive, and everyone, you know, and people generalize. And we're dealing with a lot of different flavors of registrars and a lot of different flavors of users. So, yes, education is necessary. On the other hand, to use an example that McKaylee has used, when someone calls up and said, I didn't know I had to pay for my domain name, what are you telling me about? Which sounds humorous, except an awful lot of people sign up for hosting agreements which have in big, bold letters, free domain name. It may or may not have in very small letters somewhere for the first year. You know, so we're dealing with a lot of different characters and a lot of different situations. I was amazed... Not amazed. I was intrigued the other day to sit in an IRTP, Internet Register Transfer B discussion, and several registrars, all of whom are in this room, were talking about when they're trying to reverse the transfer of a hijacked domain, how frustrating it is when you're dealing with a registrar who doesn't have whois access or blocks it or doesn't answer their phone or doesn't answer their email. Well, just imagine what it's like if you're a poor registrant dealing with that registrar. So, you know, there's a lot of different flavors going on, and I think we need to try to understand that we're not talking about one size fits all. It's not likely the registrars in this room who are the ones that are causing problems to an end user somewhere. You know, it may be one of your reseller, but it's probably not the people who are having this discussion. And so I think we have to recognize that any problems we're having are the tail-end problems. They're not the 90% ones. And also, we've talked a lot about data. All you're ever going to get from at large is anecdotal data. Is anecdotal situations. Now, there's a pundit who said that the plural of anecdote is data, is information. But, you know, typically registrars are the ones with the data if they're willing to share it, and I understand fully why you may not be willing to share it for all sorts of competitive reasons. So it's a difficult situation, and I think we're going to have to work on the assumption that we're all approaching this in good faith, and we may get somewhere. It's still going to be hard.
Yeah, thank you, Mason, for acknowledging the potential or perhaps historical animosity between the at-large and registrars. Actually, the animosity between the at-large and the non-commercial users constituency has been much worse than it has been with you guys. And they're supposed to be on our side, so that's just sort of a joke, but it's not really funny if you think about it. But in terms of information that's useful that you were talking about, I mean, we have... both people here from NewJohn, which is an ALS in North America. We have a couple of other ALSs who send me information that I sometimes pass on to ICANN enforcement, or sometimes I write, you know, stories about it or something. I mean, would you like that information? You know, would it be helpful for at certain times for us to give that information to you in such a way that you can review it or something like that? I mean, would that be helpful? And then the third point I wanted to make is I think users are in a relatively desperate situation, and I'm talking end users, when they're looking for someone to help them in terms of, in essence, an occurrence that is because of some type of registration abuse, right? So I think that there's probably somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction on my part or our part or the user community's part to think, okay, that's got to be an element of, you know, poor enforcement of the aspects of the registrar accreditation agreement. Well, I mean, that's really the only direction, in a sense, we know to go. If there's another one, I mean, if there's another aspect of trying to improve the situation for consumers who are specifically victims of registration abuse, then let's talk about that because, you know, we can certainly attempt to help.
That's Gray Chenoweth.
Gray Chenoweth from DindyNest.com. I think that's a really, well, kind of two things. One, just in response to a question of whether to send stuff before or, you know, how you can facilitate that communication. So, you know, I can tell you that, and this doesn't have anything to do with me being a registrar, anytime that you develop a list like that NewJohn report and then you send it out, and I don't know if there was contact with the registrars before about the particular issues that were raised in it. But to me, it's always, if there's going to be accusations of breach and that kind of thing, and they're made publicly for the first time, and maybe those weren't. I have no idea of the history of that stuff. But that's a very, I think you're right, that goes to back to the aggressiveness with which the parties kind of come to this type of thing. And, you know, that can... You know, it's both parties. You know, one party gets their hackles up, and the other parties, want to be aggressive about enforcement. And so, I'd say that's to me that kind of thing, that type of communication, where sometimes, you know, some of the breaches are relatively technical in nature, right? So, one of the ones I noticed, I think, was discussed on Circle ID anyway, was the, you know, whether or not the corporate forms have been filed, and if a company is a couple months late with its corporate forms, that's one thing. And then to end up on a report, end up on a report where you're being called out as, a scourge of the internet because of that type of thing, it's, you feel unfairly persecuted. And I have no idea right or wrong about how that worked out with that report. But I can tell you that's when you get your hackles up. And I think that's the type of thing that communication can really solve. Right. If there are concerns about that kind of stuff, I know that every business owner in here wants to run a clean business and wants to have their corporate forms. I mean, there's no reason that you would not want to have your corporate forms in order. And you'd rather be reminded about that politely, off to the side than called out in a very public way. So I think that that's the type of thing that, communication helps, and people are, especially the people in this room, certainly want to be good actors. And so hopefully that we can develop these types of, the ability to make the phone call as opposed to, kind of have it out in the public square so that we can actually be more effective in working together.
What I'm hearing there is rules of engagement. We've got to the table. We haven't even got to discuss the menu yet, but it would be nice to know whether we're using swords or knives and forks. And I think to start establishing some accepted norms and rules of engagement would be very good. I come from, and it is not my day job, it is another volunteer aspect of my life, from a slightly larger consumer advocacy role in the telecommunications industry. And many people who will come to this table we're going to set as a consumer advocate have come battle damaged. Right. They have been diced, sliced, vilified, and in some cases literally served for trying to bring some things to other industries. And so we've got a set of expectations, we've got a set of fears, we've got a set of, well, would you listen to us anyway? If we come back and we have some rules of engagement, which is what I'm hearing you're all interested in, that's going to be very, very different, and I look forward to that for certain. And remember, Australia has actually got codes of... We've done this at a CC level. It's not impossible. Stefan, you want to speak? And I must apologise, I do need to go. So, Alan, can you keep an eye on naming people? And you're going to have to identify your own. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chell. Stefan van Gelder. I just wanted to echo some of the points that have been made sorry, before coming on the GNSO Council, the only contact I'd ever had with ALAC as a registrar was talking to Sébastien, who does an excellent job of talking about ALAC within the French sphere. I'm French, so that's why we know each other. But through being on the council, the GNSO Council, and talking with Alan, understanding ALAC's point of view or being having certain positions explained, I'm beginning to understand some of the antagonism that you may feel towards our group and that the misunderstandings that we may feel towards yours. Those still endure. They are still there. 2 days ago, I came down to breakfast and someone introduced me to someone from ALAC, and it was almost a deluge of misconceptions start, you know, on both sides, because once you get, you know, someone comes into a conversation with a set of preconceptions, you get all defensive. So I just want to say that what we're doing here today, which is a real first, as far as I know, is extremely important for our groups. The communication channels that we have really can't only be at GNSO Council level, although it's a pleasure to talk to Alan. We really need to be able to talk together as groups. I think that's really important.
Helen Laverty from Dot Alliance. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate this meeting. I think it's wonderful to see the registrars and ALAC together. I think a lot of the amnesty in the past may have come from ALAC not communicating enough with the registrars and coming up with decisions that we of registrars maybe don't view has had the right amount of information. As registrars, we have an incredible amount of resource and information because we deal directly with the registrants. We deal directly with the registrants. We have all this information. Please, please use us. 99% of the registrars are actually fully on board with your aims. We really, really want to serve our registrants. Of the 1% or less than 1% that don't, we'd like them served as much as you guys would. So please use us. Please let's not fight about things. Use us. Get your information from us, and we'll be in the best situation for you to make the best decisions in conjunction with us. Thank you.
Sorry, I couldn't see who it is. Bo, go ahead, Bo, and then Mason.
To that point on communication, which is a good one, I want to just talk for a minute about the RIP working group, which I think is obviously concluded and submitted its report. And if there's a way within the ICANN sphere or way of doing things that that type of process could be improved, and by improvement I mean, you know, I started out with that thing. I made, you know, the first five or six meetings, but it literally went on for a year and a half. And here on the volunteer side of things, it's very difficult to find anyone who can sustain a year and a half long policy analysis process. Some of our terms in the at-large, you know, are only 2 years. So if there is a further deliberation on the registration abuse policy side that at-large could be more involved in, or if there's a special convocation of, I think in that meeting on Monday it was mentioned that there is some interest in getting registrars and law enforcement together, at which point I added, yeah, and the at-large as well, if you can. Maybe that's the format to talk about it, but it's very difficult for us on this side to engage in a year-and-a-half long process of anything. So just to throw that out there for consideration.
Well, you're not going to find disagreement on that. I mean, to find a year and a half of occasional time to sustain a PDP or involvement in any kind of development of anything is difficult for anyone, especially you, especially us. So a couple of points I just want to make. And I will take the blame for this. This actually is not the first meeting of ALAC and registrars. My colleague John Nevitt served as chair of the registrars before I started a year ago. He arranged for meetings with the ALAC. I don't know how regular they were, but yeah, he was very good about it. You know, it's my fault that we haven't met up to this point, but I am glad we're here. So when it comes to the idea of sharing information, what we've done at this meeting is we've had either first-time meetings or first-in-a-long-time meetings with a number of groups. We met formally with the GAC. We met formally with law enforcement agencies. We're meeting with you. We meet all the time with ICANN staff on various matters, as you might guess. All of these groups have been vocal in policies or areas that are important to registrars. I mean, obviously, the biggest one right now is the RAA. I think that much of what's happened with the contention or discomfort around issues with the RAA probably could have been eliminated if those conversations had been happening sooner than they did. And again, the registrars, especially me, I'll take the blame for that. It would be useful, however, if the ALAC and the law enforcement community and others who, for example, now want something like more than 150 changes in the RAA would approach registrars and say, we're experiencing the following problems. What can you do to help us solve them? And then we'll decide together what the right avenue to solve those might be. It may not require a contract change. It may not require a PDP, or maybe it does. Maybe we can just get together and solve the problem. So it would be, I think we would find less contention all the way around if we could be approached with an explanation of a problem and then work together to try to find a solution to the problem. And I also want to make one procedural point, if I may. We had quite a discussion yesterday, as you might guess, in our stakeholder group meeting about the RAA and about the process for amendment. If you look at the current RAA, the process for amending it is unclear. We're in the process of finding a way to clarify that. I think it would be useful for registrars and the entire community to recognize that the GNSO process is there for a reason. If you handled everything through the contract, we wouldn't need a GNSO. So the contract needs to be treated like a contract and not as a policy tool. So there are multiple ways to get to desired outcomes. They don't all have to be crammed into a contract. Maybe there's another avenue to address them, and we're willing to help you find those avenues.
Okay, Sebastian, and then I've put myself in the queue, and then Carlton.
I will talk in French to give you some flavor of what is an at-large meeting. Then please take your headset. It's why I am asking to have the headset going. Bonjour. Merci.
Good afternoon. Then thank you. I know that Christopher and Stefan need headsets to understand what I'm going to say. Thank you. I think, well, why do I speak French? Well, because I believe that this meeting is important and interesting, and I hope we'll have other such meetings. And one of the reasons why, or one of the ways to keep improving the relationships between final users represented within ICANN and registrars taking part in ICANN's work, may be to consider having meetings at the national level and at the regional level instead of waiting for being gathered all together in an ICANN meeting, or instead of waiting for having global discussions, that we could have local interactions about GTLDs. There are already local interactions about CCTLDs, but these interactions could also focus on GTLDs. If we are here today, it is, in my opinion, because our two groups, both groups, have made progress in order to allow this. I think that 1 year ago, 1 year and a half ago, at large, was much more focusing on its internal problems, the need to implement things and secure the operation of the center of the system, because you should realize that at large represents 120 regions and 120 associations in a number of countries, and that whole system had to be actually put in place and its operation had to be launched, and it was quite complex. Now that the system is operational, it's very good. We should have this meeting. We have the debate about the RAA, but I think there are other topics it's worthwhile sharing opinions about, for example, vertical integration. I think there are topics on which we may disagree, but we should at least share our views about the objectives, share our fears, our wishes, our dreams. And if we had more such exchanges and sharing, we would feel closer together and feel closer to the different topics. On this particular topic, I don't see how we can reach a consensus, and will certainly not reach a consensus if bridges are not put in place, if dialogues are not established, particularly between our two groups. So I'm not going to dwell for any longer on this. Thank you very much for having accepted to listen to me in French with the simultaneous translation, and enjoy your work.
Thank you, Sebastian. A couple of comments just in response to various things. My first is in regard to what Helen said about 99% of the registrars, and I'll start off with a very short story. In another life, I used to be a large IBM customer, and we were having a particular problem with hardware maintenance. And when my IBM salesman came to call the next day, I told him we had a major problem. And he said, "That's not my division." I said, "But you're the only IBM person in the room." And that's the situation that the registrars are in here. We know that it's only 1% or 3% or 0.4%, doesn't matter what the percentage is, of people that have, of registrars that cause problems and individual users that have problems. But our only contact are the people that show up at these meetings. And so forgive us when we try to characterize something sometimes as registrars do this. It may not well not be all of them. And we're not accusing you personally. And we're too much gentlemen and gentlewomen to accuse you, even if you are guilty. But it's the only conduit we have to try to fix the problems. And, you know, I don't know how else we can address that. In terms of what Mason said about the we don't know how to fix, how to amend the RAA, thank you for saying that. I was absolutely amazed when I sit on the GNSO and was watching the process last time where the GNSO was effectively expected to rubber stamp the negotiated agreement and rightfully said, hold on, we all have responsibilities to our own groups. How can we just vote yes because you told us to? And I was amazed that that set of changes in the RAA didn't include a change to how it will be amended the next time, because now we're going to be back in exactly the same position. So thank you for bringing it out and out loud, and maybe this time around, I don't know how we're going to amend the RAA this time, but maybe the next time it'll be a bit easier. Sorry, I think Carl. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I quite agree that dialogue is important, and I also endorse the fact that the registrars who would show up at this meeting would not be the ones who would be guilty of egregious conduct. And the speaker said, well, every time we have a problem, we don't have to assume that it is an amendment to the RIA that will solve the problem. And so I asked the question, what do we know, and when did we know it? If there is no other vehicle, since the only other way is to persuade miscreants to behave, and since there would be a natural reluctance on the part of business, independent businesses, to tell other independent businesses how to run their business, and since you don't now have a mechanism to exact punishment or sanction against those who misbehave, can you suggest another way to make that happen?
Mason?
Yeah, I know there's a queue. I don't want to leap ahead. Thank you for that input. I agree. I'm sort of reminded of the ongoing joke in the law enforcement community where union organizers would organize the police force, and the police force would ask the union organizers to go organize the crooks, because then, you know, you'd have them all in one place. So thank you for bringing that up. The answer is we don't know yet, but we're willing to find a way. We have, in the last round of the RAA changes, we agreed to enhance compliance mechanisms. We agreed to additional training. We agreed to several provisions that would be beneficial to us and our end users, and would draw a further distinction between the good actors in the industry and the bad. Now, what to do about the bad ones? It may be on occasion that a change in the agreement would be warranted, so that it can be used as a compliance tool or a tool to weed out a bad actor. Speaking generally, I simply wanted to make the point that the RAA is a contract between two parties. It's not a policy tool. The policy process exists within ICANN to create policy. So I don't disagree with your assertion that maybe an enhanced RAA could be useful in weeding out bad actors. We should just take care with how we go about doing that.
Just quick further on, and Garth, the RAA is not a policy tool, but there's a subsection of the RAA which is subject to consensus policy, and that is the best way to change it, because it happens immediately, not 5 years from now, for the bad guys who aren't interested. Compliance can only force compliance if someone is violating a rule. Just because they're antisocial and aren't nice guys, compliance can't do much about it. So that's why our inclination is to try to put things in the RAA where it won't hurt the good players, but may force the outliers to either get their act together or give compliance an opportunity to do something about it. Yeah.
May I address that quickly? So I appreciate that point of view, Alan. I generally agree with it. Here's a perspective I'd like to share and let the ALAC keep in mind. When changes are made to the RAA, or changes are made to any procedure that registrars need to follow, it has operational impact on us. And it could mean anything from needing to reprioritize work to hiring or letting go people that we employ. It could impact our ability to produce a profit and pay ourselves and our employees. You know, it may mean that we have to call ICANN on the phone and say, the last thing that you told us we had to do, we can't do now because of this. And it could mean that we have to pass costs down to our registrants, which is nothing that we ever really want to do. So I would ask that anytime it's a change to the RAA or a PDP is initiated, that the impact on the registrar operationally and the potential impact on the registrants be considered.
Noted, and I think understood, but it's still probably the only way to get the bad actors and put a nail through their somethings. Garth? Yeah. Sorry, but Garth was next on the list. On that item? Okay.
Okay, everybody queued up? My name is Garth Bruin from newjohn.com, and I thank you for this meeting. This is a good meeting. First, I'm sure that many of the registrars in the room don't like me, and we'll just get that out of the way and get down to business. I hope that you take away from this meeting a few things. One of them is that I do not want you to be responsible for answering for bad registrars. I don't want you to be responsible for answering for bad registrants. I don't think that you should be deciding what site is illegal or immoral. I don't think you should be deciding what constitutes an accurate WHOIS record. I don't think that this is your place, and I don't think that it should be, and I don't think you should have to spend a dime on it. What I would really like to see is a comprehensive process that handles these issues. And it's some, maybe something similar to existing compliance that can handle these consumer end issues. Now, with that being said, there's been a lot of talk throughout the week at different sessions about money, about how much it would cost to have a validation system, about how much it would cost to verify existing records, about how much it would cost for to respond to police various court orders. And I'm sure for some registrars, that is a very serious concern in terms of staffing and in terms of budget. And as I said previously, I don't think that you should have to carry the burden for that. But with that said, I'm often in the position of having to unravel some mysteries about the industry and explain them to my clients and consumers in general. And in terms of money, we noticed that on paper there are 940 or so registrars, but in reality, 490 plus are controlled by five companies. And that in essence, these are redundant or superfluous accreditations, and it piles up. And these five companies are contributing an additional, and maybe, I don't know if it's excessive, $2 million per year to ICANN, which is almost 3% of their annual budget. Now, as far as answering to the consumer how the industry works, and I would just like to know, what's the reason for this? Thank you.
John Berryhill, iRegistry.com. The reason, actually, for the multiple redundant registrars is a historical artifact of the domain name market itself. There was a point in time at which there were certain end users who, after the dot-com bust of 2000, found that they could fruitfully pick up abandoned detritus domain names. What happened is that the registrars, who do operate on thin margins, suddenly noticed that some of their own customers were making a lot of money. And I'll get to the point that, you know, the registrar that I represent in the constituency is somewhat different from other registrars. The registrar that I represent serves basically domain registrants who got tired of being screwed by the screw you terms of service of registrars. But in any event, many of the larger registrars basically established armies of shelf registrars for the purpose of repetitively querying at drop time the registry, and they've been sort of kept on as appendices. But the reason that they ballooned, it was simply to have more accreditation threads for the purpose of picking up expiring names. Since that time, as we now know, most of the commercial registrars, when a domain name expires, don't actually allow the domain name to expire through the registry because the registrars have sort of, you know, pulled that back. But it's a historical artifact of what amounted to an evolution of successively larger creatures dining on each other at the expired domain buffet.
Thank you, John. I've actually heard that explanation before, and I believe it in part, but it doesn't explain ENOM's 11 new accreditations last year, and it doesn't explain the purchase of expired accreditations by these five registrars. Thanks.
Okay, we have Bo next.
Thanks. Three quick points. One, very quickly, is that when I made the joke earlier, I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't interpreted that back when the first registrar ALAC meeting happened, I was at large as point person for registrar relations back then, and John Nevitt was terrific, never anything but a gentleman, so I didn't want that to get misconstrued from what I said earlier, so thank you, John, for that. Second point, resellers. It would be interesting to know or have a candid conversation. Perhaps this is not the time or place to do it, but it would be interesting to know about your issues with dealings with resellers in that they're a part of, obviously, the market that doesn't appear to be particularly well contractually bound or paid attention to, and I think that can have detrimental, obviously detrimental effects for both you, but you know, primarily for consumers. So
excuse me, Bo, if I can interrupt. We do have a hard stop in 4 minutes because another group is coming into this room.
Okay. Then the last thing I wanted to mention was we're considering, the at-large is considering RAA provision 3.7.7.3. Our interpretation of that is that it puts a pretty significant liability burden on registrars, and I would be interested to hear, because we're supposed to come up with a comment about it during this session, as to what your views on it are, as to whether it's been very controversial in your community or whatever. Thanks.
And the final word goes to Michele.
Right, for once I'm going to be brief. Just picking up on a couple of things. Sebastian was, as ever, eloquent, and I think it would be very interesting to see about doing something along the lines that he was suggesting of maybe having even just informal national or regional meetings with if people were interested in doing something like that. Obviously, it would have to be something voluntary, and maybe if it was organized in conjunction with some other event that happened to be on that it was is likely to attract people within our industry, then that might work. Unfortunately, I'm in the unfortunate, or fortunate, depending how you look at the circumstance, of not having anybody else to go to if you held it in my home country. Coming back to the entire thing about what to do with regards to these registrars that aren't here and all that, I'd throw the ball back over to you guys in some respects, in that if you are able to communicate and help educate users, then they're able to make better choices about which registrars they should be using. Obviously, if they've already made the choice, then you know there's not much anybody can do about that. But if we can work together to help educate people on who to actually choose as a service provider, be it for the domain registration, and I'm not talking just about GTLDs because, let's be honest, GTLDs are only just one part of a very large ecosystem. And there are as many bad and evil players in the CCTLD space as there are in the GTLD space. And for anybody, I mean, I was talking to some French registrars the other evening, and it's like they're going about, you know, another one of the French registrars who has a charming habit of spamming people left, right, and centre in order to get customers. Whereas I know that people like Stefan would never do such a thing and invests heavily in advertising, and you see him going around the place in his rally car. Unfortunately, I have to run because I have to chair a meeting about transfers. Thanks.
I thank you all. We are completely out of time right now, and we need to vacate this room in minus about 12 seconds.